But I wanted to talk a little bit about interfaith and a little bit about some of the basic principles and things that we understand. We understand with the work that we've done over the years that it's absolutely true that spirituality has the power to transform. We've seen people transform and move into a much more joyous and happy life just by embracing an understanding of spirituality that lifts them. And it can be any path, as long as the path speaks to them. One of the things that I think is amazing in this age, and this, I think, is one of the most important images of our time. Does anyone know what this is? It's galaxies. This is a Hubble Deep Field picture, and it's a time-lapse picture, and it was in a section of the sky that was totally black. There was nothing you could see in the sky. And it's the size of your thumb. Like, that's the size of the sky this is. And in there, each one of these lights is absolutely a galaxy. And in a galaxy, a galaxy is not a star. It's not even a million stars. We're talking billions and billions of stars and trillions of planets in each galaxy. And in this picture, there's over 6,000 galaxies. Amazing. And what this tells me and what teaches me is how big infinite is. You know, here we are on Earth, this little planet, and we're in the Milky Way galaxy, and there are billions of little planets just like ours in this galaxy. And we could go for lifetimes and never hit the end of it. This is a picture of multiple galaxies, as far as you can see. And that's not even all of them in that direction. That's just what we can see. Size of your thumb. So infinite is real big. You know? And we can't get our heads around infinite. Like I can conceptualize a galaxy, I can conceptualize 6,000 galaxies, but I have no idea how big that is, because I think PEI is big. I think Canada is big. So this is an amazing picture. The other thing it tells me is that in a universe that has this many places where people can live, the universe has to be full of life. To believe that only Earth has life on it, absurd. You know, the universe is life. And we may not understand it all, and we may not even ever see it, but life surrounds us as far as the eye can see. And to me, that's amazing. And it also is indicative of what God is. God is incomprehensible. God is infinite. So if I don't understand God, I can be forgiven. Because none of us can understand God. It's just not doable. Not in a physical existence. And not even not in a physical existence. We can't understand the infinite. Most important picture. For Sandy and me, it made a whole lot of sense that interfaith perspective was a perspective that celebrated something that was infinite. Incomprehensible. And we believe that there are unifying principles and beliefs that are shared by all traditions, even though each one of them has its own language and understanding of the unseen dimensions and spiritual life. So just because everyone understands it differently does not mean anybody's wrong, because it's infinite. And my sense of it is that the principles that unify all traditions are things like unconditional love, one God source. Like, those are things that define all traditions. And there's a whole bunch of other qualities, but that gives you a sense of it. So Sandy and I started working on the interfaith ministry, and we were involved in another organization called the Spiritual Science Fellowship, which we're still involved in, which we were ordained through, which was an interfaith ministry. And what we wanted to see, however, is the creation of the second generation we're first generation, or the original organization was the first generation. It doesn't have the foundations that you need to make it so that people can be ordained and move forward in the ways that have a commonality, and that community comes together, and we eventually hope that some of the ministers in the ministry will be paid and so on and so forth. Right now we're all volunteers, which is totally fine. But it's understanding that all the work we're doing is being laid in the foundation so that the people come after us can use it meaningfully. So we don't have every new generation starting all over again, which makes a whole bunch of sense from our point of view. No. The other thing that's important is that this is the time for this kind of ministry. Now is the time. The world is a small place. So the PEI Interfaith Ministry was our beginnings. And then we decided that we didn't want to have an organization that was geographically limited. So we created the Open International Interfaith Ministry, and we're affiliated with the World Council of Churches through the UN and a number of other international and national organizations that celebrate ministry and interfaith dialogue, as well as interfaith as a faith path. To me, this is a basic tenet. Paths are many, truth is one, love thy neighbor. It's so simple. I don't know how it gets so complicated, but it's so simple. All the traditions, in essence, have that as a foundation. Love thy neighbor. The truth is one. And later on, we'll see a little bit about that. When one begins to embrace the concept that there are many paths, but one truth, there is another conclusion that follows. It is that there is one God. And that one God becomes manifest to many people in different forms. This one God is the foundation of all religions as we understand it. All religions are connected to the same ultimate reality, leading people towards a common goal, a common outcome. In other words, if you believe in the heaven world, if I'm doing spirit communication, there's someone there on the spirit side and talking to, they've actually said to their loved ones, and I repeated to them, you'll never guess who's here. I never thought they'd make it here. You know, there's all kinds of people here I never thought would be here. So I think most people are pretty good, and they make it there to a good place. In Hermetic philosophy, which is actually believed to have been handed down from the time of early Egypt, the God source was called the All, and was considered unknowable, eternal, infinite. The All is seen as the substantial reality, the fundamental truth, which is under and back of the universe of time, space, and change. In the Kabbalion, which is a book written about this philosophy, it states, the All must be all that really is. There can be nothing existing outside of the All, else the All would not be the All. It goes on to state that the All must be infinite, for there is nothing else to define, confine, bound, limit, or restrict the All. It must be infinite in time, eternal. And another phrase there is that the All is mind. I find the notion of the All quite compelling for its simplicity and its similarity to the God embraced by the world's traditions. No matter what name you choose to give God, God in all traditions is infinite and absolute, and there can only be one. To illustrate this, we're going to look at a few different traditions and how they describe God. I believe if the God they describe has the same or similar qualities, then it's probably the same God that they're talking about. And here we have from the Islam. Say he is God the One, God the eternally besought of all. He neither begets nor was begotten, and there is none comparable unto him. So that's from Islam. In Christianity and Judaism, I am the Lord, and there is no other besides me. Besides me, there is no God. For Hinduism, he is the one God hidden in all beings, all-pervading, the self within all beings, watching over all works, dwelling in all beings, the witness, the perceiver, the only one, free from qualities. And that's from Hinduism. This one is Confucianism, which I thought was really interesting. Absolute truth is indestructible. Being indestructible, it is eternal. Being eternal, it is self-existent. Being self-existent, it is infinite. Being infinite, it is vast and deep. Being vast and deep, it is transcendental and intelligent. It is because it is vast and deep that it contains all existence. It is because it is transcendental and intelligent that it embraces all existence. It is because it is infinite and eternal that it fulfills or perfects all existence. In vastness and depth, it is like the earth. In transcendental intelligence, it is like heaven, infinite and eternal. It is the infinite itself, such being the nature of absolute truth. It manifests itself without being seen. It produces effects without motion. It accomplishes its ends without action. And that's from Confucianism. When you look at the ways that God is described in the different traditions, it's actually quite easy to see that they're all talking about one eternal, singular entity. Even the traditions that have many deities worship one God, which has many manifestations, which are represented by different deities. So some traditions, such as the Baha'i, state it quite clearly. There can be no doubt that whatever the peoples of the world, of whatever race or religion, derive their inspiration from one heavenly source and are the subjects of one God. The difference between the ordinances under which they abide should be attributed to the varying requirements and existences of the age in which they were revealed. All of them, except for a few, which are the outcomes of human perversity, were ordained of God and are reflections of His will and purpose. And for Buddhism, Buddhism also had something to say about it. And Buddhism states that when appearances and names are put away and all discrimination ceases, that which remains is the true and essential nature of things, and as nothing can be predicated as to the nature of existence, is called the suchness of reality. This universal, undifferentiated, inscrutable suchness is the only reality, but it is variously characterized as truth, mind essence, transcendental intelligence, perfection of wisdom, etc. This drama of the imagelessness of the essence nature of ultimate reality is the drama which has been proclaimed by all the Buddhas. And when all things are understood in full agreement with it, one is in possession of perfect knowledge. In the Bible here, we also read that now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of working, but it is the same Lord who inspires them all and every man. To each is given the manifestation of Spirit for the common good. And again, I would, in that you can read a commonality which can be compared to all traditions. To me, I think it's really important that we understand that you can't have a God without the presence of an unseen, incomprehensible reality which does not conform to our limited physical perception of the universe, the one that we live in. Accepting the reality of the spirit realms are exemplified through the world's major religions, and it has a price. Once we accept the existence of mystical experiences, then we must also accept the validity, the reality of their existence. You can't have one without the other. They have to go hand in hand.